Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 323 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Buddy.
Hey.
Here we are, man. It's like it's 1989 because there's a new album by Metallica out. Of course, I haven't listened to it.
I haven't either.
We just finished a Star Wars. That's cool. We got Star Wars on the horizon. It's just, what a wild time. Of course, that wouldn't have been like it was in the... I don't know why I picked that. It's because Metallica.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, hey, look, we grasp at straws. It happens sometimes.
You know, it's just, yeah, what are you going to do? But anyway,
sometimes, man, they break straws.
They do.
And you can't get a drink out of it. It sucks.
I'm still waiting on the, what is it, the Beefy Crunch Burrito to come back at Taco Bell. They had like a vote for your favorite thing, and it's the one that had like the Fritos in it. And it won, but it's still not on the menu. I'll be going there tomorrow to find out. But anyway, man. What's
Let me ask you this real quick. Is every Taco Bell you go to in your surrounding area, are they about half staffed?
It seems like it. But one thing, like, I only go through the drive-through nowadays. I used to always go in. But now, like, ever since COVID, for work-wise, it just worked out. You know, we went through the drive-through all the time, and it just, like, we sort of stuck with it. Because it's nice, you know, with the nature of my job and whatnot. I don't have to watch what I talk about when I'm not in a restaurant with people. You know what I mean? I can do whatever I want. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. So it's hard for me to tell, but I can tell you this. On the few times I've gone in, they have switched to a kiosk-only ordering system, which I think might be chain-wide. I could be wrong, but that appears to be the case.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do you still have the registers then?
Yeah.
Why did I have the bowl, Bart? Why did I have the bowl? It's one of those deals.
I can tell you what, though. Any place that has a self-service kiosk, no matter where it is, it could be a restaurant, it could be a grocery store, Walmart, wherever, Target, I choose that every time over people. Almost every time.
I don't mind checking out like that, but there's just something about going in. Because like used to, man, when I went into that Taco Bell, the best Taco Bell in America, man, those people knew me. And they're like, oh, hey, blah, nah, nah, nah. Now there's none of that. Heck, I didn't know it was kiosk ordering only. And I went in there one time and they're like, well, I guess I can go ahead and take your order, but I'm, you know, not supposed to.
Yeah, you just like stood there waiting for like 5-10 minutes and are looking at you. And you're like,
yeah. And it's like, well, I guess I can go ahead and go ahead and pay.
Yeah.
Even though according to my moral code, I'm not supposed to. But guys, all these restaurants switch into that.
Yeah.
Steak and Shake, that was a huge mistake. Steak and Shake. Part of the whole thing was sitting down and getting the menu.
Yeah, it was like they were trying to be that segue between a sit-down restaurant and a fast food restaurant, and they took away the segue.
Well, it's because it's supposed to be like a diner.
Yeah.
But listen, welcome to the Curmudgeon Podcast.
But well, when I was young. The reason why I asked that is because the reason I was going to say is it's a good thing you go through drive-through, because if you go dine in these fast food restaurants now, it makes you not want to eat there, because the dining room in every single one of them is disgusting now. Like they're like the whole like keep it clean protocol in their bathrooms and their dining rooms out the fucking window at nearly every single one of these places, because they're like, why are you coming in here?
So there's a KFC that we go to. And it appears clean, but when you get there, you realize that they haven't actually wiped the tables off. It's clean because very few people go there.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm the only one here, and I left crumbs on this table. Maybe I should clean them up myself.
That's
then
why
you go
too.
In the bathroom, and you're like, oof.
Oh.
Not cool.
Yeah. Man, that used to be such a big deal for restaurants. But now they can't keep people in there, so they're like, what are we going to do? Make them do stuff? Like, we can barely keep them in there. If you tell a worker to do anything now, they're like, well, I'll fucking leave. Then what are you going to do?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to you. That just sucks, man.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, hey, before we go tearing into this, listen, people, if you're sitting here thinking, God, this is great content, and I would like to get some more of this, I'll tell you what, it is your lucky day. Head over to patreon.com/thebadmotivators for just a few bucks a month. You get top shelf content. I mean, top shelf. And it's not about Star Wars unless it happens to be about Star Wars. It's not about pop culture unless it happens to be about pop culture. Just who knows what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. It's a hodgepodge.
It's definitely worth it. Man, there's a variety, and the variety is the spice of life, and it's pretty dang spicy over there.
Yeah, and if you for some reason are fans of Eric and I mean, I don't know what's going on with you. You know, I got to get your head checked. But if you are, you're fans of us, and like you like us, you're going to know us a lot better by going on Patreon, because it's much more of our other taste. Like, especially Eric, there's a lot of episodes with Eric where he like really like dives into topics that I wouldn't expect him to discuss. And it's quite insightful. So
Ballet, for example.
Exactly. I didn't realize that you were that flexible, to be honest with you, buddy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I mean, touche.
Touche
with the ballet.
One thing, I almost corrected your English back there. I've fallen into the trap of doing that a lot, and I've got to quit doing that to people.
What did I do wrong?
You said if you're fans of Eric and I.
Uh-huh.
It's me, because of is a preposition and me is the objective form of I. So like what when you said, which I don't understand, but if you're fans of us, that's correct. Mm-hmm. But by saying I, it would be the same if you're fans of we. Uh-huh. And you can tell that sounds wrong.
Yeah. You know? No, so take that's fair.
Eric and. So if you're fans of I. Uh-huh. So you can tell that's wrong, and that's how you know. But anyhow, well, blah, blah, blah.
Wait, no, this is important. And I don't care what anybody says. This is important. You know why I would say something like that? It's because, you know, people like me who have scatterbrains, whenever you go into class, then and like they'll try to like, no, you said that wrong. You're supposed to say, Eric and I went here, did something like that. You know what I mean? Like in that context, right? But they drill that in your head, and then they don't like really emphasize what you did, which is the correction in certain contexts, right?
Right.
And then so all you ever remember is, okay, whenever you're speaking about somebody else and yourself, make sure you do the and I. It's
good, right.
You know, it's like an algebra if you're not very good at math and you remember like, you know, certain formulas and you try to apply that to every formula and it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
I get you.
For kids like me who listen half the time.
What? Were you saying something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I was explaining to Stella that it's never I seen. Yep. And she goes, it's literally not that big of a deal. And I said, you're sorely mistaken.
It is a big deal, and how dare you?
But anyhow, enough about that. So check this out, man. I've got a gig with my good friend Abby that she is a violin player extraordinaire. And we are playing this rock set in Nashville.
She fucking shreds on the violin Wednesday. She does.
Yeah,
she has like one of those like little crazy like electric ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it like so, lights up and shit.
No, it doesn't do that. But we're playing this 1 hour rock set at. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is wild stuff. We're at a fashion trade show.
Oh
yeah, because she's a model. You know what I mean? When she does her little turn on the catwalk. But no, she's a model. She models and stuff. And so she's playing this thing and she asked me if I would do it with her. And I said, absolutely, I will. I'll drive 5 hours to play a 1 hour set and drive 5 hours home.
Are you guys playing I'm Too Sexy or?
No, we should though. God, that'd be hilarious.
Dude, you know you got the shirt from the video. I mean, just pull it out, man. That's an old reference.
Yeah,
that's an old. People that's who an don't old. Understand. If you're below the age of 35, please go look up the video for "I'm Too Sexy." You'll know what shirt I'm talking about immediately.
Yeah.
You have to shave your head though, Eric.
About that,
I'm too sexy.
So anyhow, man. Yeah, but yeah, that's kind of neat. I haven't done a gig like that in a solid while. So hooray today.
Are you allowed to wear your t-shirts? You got to get all snazzy and pull out the meatloaf boots. And
So I won't do that. I'll probably wear like all black. So this one of the companies that she represents, Fry, the boot company, right? F-R-Y-E. They gave me this pair of boots to wear. They were probably like $400 or something stupid like that. Wow. I don't get to keep them. But
bitches.
Yeah, I get to wear them. Yeah.
What kind of teasing shit is that?
They'll be like, look at that fat guy with long hair wearing our boots. That was a mistake on our part. Tell them they're Doc Martens instead.
Yeah.
But, y'all. So
cool, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of boots, why don't we talk about the Mandalorian season finale? I don't know, man. I'm grasping at straws.
I mean, they gave us the boot with logic, or I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What kind of boot are we going with?
Well, listen. By this point, everybody's seen it. That's going to watch it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
And listen, this week when Star Wars podcasts and geek podcasts are going, oh no, what do we talk about? We're like, we'll show you. We'll talk about this thing last week because we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah. But we're winning this week, bastards.
Yeah. See, it pays off.
Yeah. After 8 weeks, it pays off.
So let me ask you this, my friend.
Yes, sir.
What did you make of the episode?
Well, my gut reaction to it was I had a lot of fun while I was watching it, right? Mm-hmm. I was entertaining. The effects were awesome, right? But ultimately, it was hollow. That's how I felt. They gave us like the Return of the King, like six different endings to like happy endings, you know, tied into one, right? You know? And this could be the end. Like, we know it's not the goddamn end. Shut up. And like, you know, we're going on our continued adventures. And everybody's like, it feels like it's a final of the thing. I'm like, it's not the final of the thing. They they're making a movie of the thing. And they're going to be there. And they're waiting to see what Pedro Pascal's doing and see if he's going to continue to be in the thing. So like there's going to be more stuff. They're not going to let Grogu just ride off in the sunset. That's not what Disney does, number one. And two, they left it wide open on purpose. But I felt empty because they did a lot of typical bullshit and they did a lot of, they did what JJ did with The Last Jedi, like after Last Jedi.
With the Rise of Skywalker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a lot of stuff where they gave people what they thought they want in some instances, and then they gave us a bunch of nonsense at the same time, and then completely obliterated other storylines that were set up and then never followed through with, and or completely changed and belittled. And it was like in that whole time, like I as soon as I saw that dude was, I saw Axe, whatever his last name was, crashing that Star Destroyer or that Star Cruiser into the base. I said, oh no. In my reaction, I said, oh no. I was like, we have to see Gideon die. Like, if they do this shit where they're like, oh, and then he's definitely dead and you don't see him, all we're gonna do is like, oh, well, he's still alive. Because they do that to us repeatedly. And like and they know that they do that, and they know that we're gonna think that. So they think that we're gonna be that. But here's the thing: you keep doing that, and we're gonna stop caring anymore.
Right.
I saw the fire engulf him. I kept hoping that like Grogu or somebody was gonna run that spike through his head or fucking crush him or something, show us something that he is dead. And then that fire engulfed him, and then I'm like, okay, let's see that body, Anakin style. Let's fucking see it. Let's see that corpse burning away, and it was gone. I was like, really? Like, don't give me this whole like, if it's like, well, we just didn't want to. That's kind of grotesque. Bullshit. We saw Mando snap somebody's neck beginning of that episode. So don't tell me it's too grotesque, a burning body, and not see that. So. We're supposed to just accept that Gideon's dead No, they're leaving it open on purpose. And I'm tired of the openness. I'm tired of it.
So let me give you my positives of the episode.
Please.
You hit it right on the head. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
The fighting, the way Bo-Katan just took charge and did her thing. The reveal of Gideon, even though it was moderately hokey with his Iron Man suit and all that.
Yeah.
But it was still cool. The fight was cool. The Mandalorian.
The dialogue was cool.
Yeah. Din Djarin fighting the Praetorian guards and Grogu in the mix with them and all that
stuff. Doing a power slide, Grogu style? That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, slide, puppet, slide.
And I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And I really loved the part where he used the Force to save him from the flames.
Yes, of course.
That was very powerful, and I liked it.
That's a specialty move right there.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I did. I liked it quite a bit. And my wife really loved it. She loved it. But she's also not in it for the big picture the same way we are.
Yes.
And so now let me cross over to the minuses.
Mm-hmm.
They did, you are right, because that comparison to The Rise of Skywalker, it's just this breathless run through sewing up story threads that in a way that's fast and unsatisfying. And here's what I would equate it to. It's like when you hook up with that person where in the moment, like, you know, it's wrong and it's like, oh, I've got that feeling in my stomach, but it's like so exciting. And I just, woof. And then later you're like, oh, this is going to ruin my reputation.
Yes.
That's exactly what watching that show was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, like, let's just take the fight choreography. There is some of it that is very slow.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this on the Sith list, but when they do choreography of any type, it's beat based. You know, just like dance. That's what's funny. One of my friends who's a very self-trained musician, he always counted by eights. And I said, oh, is that due to your extensive background in dance? It wasn't. Trust me. If you met this guy, you would know why that's funny. But you can literally see them counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1. Because some of the moves, they're waiting for him to go ahead and turn and kick the thing out of their hand and all that. And while ultimately it looked neat.
Yeah.
It was.
Thanks to the editing.
Yeah. It was kind of cornball. And, you know, seeing R5 in there doing his thing and.
Dude, his fucking head be like, he's like R5. His head picks around that rock. He's like, shit. And I thought I was told I wouldn't be called on. I was told they weren't going to call my name.
Yeah, this is unacceptable.
he's like, are you, we need your help. He's like, dude, no, I don't want to. He's like,
Do you have any idea how old I am?
Yeah, like when, and that's what I said in my video when he was like, sorry, I don't speak binary. He's like, I'm like, what he said was, he goes, I'm really scared and I don't want, please don't ask me to do anything else dangerous. I'm really old, please.
I did like a lot of the combat was, there was a realism to it.
Yeah.
In that, like, in the scenes where he says, R5, I need you to turn these things off one at a time.
Yeah.
And he has no weapons and he's squaring off against these dudes. And he's fighting them and just trying to figure out how to handle it. And like, he hits the one guy and he goes, he's reaching, trying to keep him from falling off the thing so he can steal his weapons.
I love that. He's like, shit, I need that gun.
And I just thought that was so choice because it really made him the underdog. But just watching his resilience and determination, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Now,
that's why they call him the Mandalorian when he got to the boss stage at the end. Like, that's why they call him the Mandalorian.
I'll tell you this right now.
Yeah.
They're quite aware that then it was purposeful to make it seem like maybe the armorer is a bad guy.
That was such bullshit the way they did that to us.
Because did you notice in this episode when they showed her in that drop ship They were playing the bad music.
I didn't notice.
They were playing the, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's getting ready to go south now. They were, that's what they were playing. Not the A-Team. Dun, 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 bum, bum, bum. None of that.
What are they trying to do? Like, what was that thing? And I heard like Hawes and somebody else said that the spies was a biblical term in the or a biblical reference or something like that.
It could be like
the 12 spies sent to like check. Right. I forget what the whole thing was.
The 12 spies, they go to check out the promised land essentially.
Yeah,
and 10 of them come back and be like, we can't go there.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Oh my gosh, those people are huge. And it was nothing but the negatives.
Yes.
And then the two came back and were like, oh man, all we got to do is go in there and against all odds, kill these people and do this. And then it's ours for the taking. Yeah. So I never made that connection. That's interesting.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying though. It's such a, I'm not saying the Bible's obscure, but as far as like global Bible, like, things that everybody understands, it's obscure. So, and yeah, sorry.
Well, no. Let me just tell you this. I read the Bible all the time.
Yeah.
I know what that reference means, but I didn't get that from it.
It feels like a cop out, is what it feels like. It feels so like a cop out.
Who said that? Like,
Hawes said it. And then there was I don't know if it's been like definitively said, but. That's what the consensus seems to be, that they were talking about the spies because there was 12 Mandos that went down to the surface and all the other stuff. And but also, if you go even now and you look at the thumbnails for the episodes under spies, it's a picture of the armorer. So like, don't tell me you weren't trying to sell that she was an insider. Don't try to tell me that you weren't trying to sell that there was at least two spies working in this episode. What
with the plurality of it.
Yes. And it's, so, I mean, if you had said 12 spies, the 12 spies, maybe people make that biblical reference more easily. But don't sit there and tell me that that's what we should have known. It's so like needlessly manipulative. And I have no problem with plot twist. But you guys clearly set this up that she was something up with her. I mean,
oh, sure. Absolutely.
It's so like unnecessary, and it put a sour taste in my mouth. And even whenever Axe came onto the ship to tell them all to get off, he's going to use the cruiser as bait for the fighters. And then those fighters magically disappeared. I don't know what happened to those fighters after that. But you didn't hear the armorer. You didn't see the armorer, didn't see her anything. And I expected her to come up behind him and like stop him from what he was doing. And that didn't happen. And then we didn't see her, didn't see her get on a ship, didn't see her anything. And then right whenever Bo was like, says something, she goes, your backup is on the way. So I'm like, is that the armorer? Like, it was the armorer. And then she came down and you said, they played the evil music when she jumped out. And then she started playing Thor in the air with her hammer, which was awesome.
It was like, really cool.
But I was like, the whole time I'm like, what? I was kind of glad they didn't do it because they were playing it so heavily that she was going to. But at the same time, I was like, then why'd you do it so heavy? Like, Star Wars isn't complicated. And I actually hit up King Tom right after I watched the episode. Cause I knew he'd be available to speak. And I called him when I was going somewhere. And I was like, I just need like 5 minutes of your time. And I said, I want to tell you this. I think Rian Johnson ruined Star Wars. And I don't think it's because of the reason a lot of the people say it is. I think he ruined it because he made us believe that Star Wars could be complicated and nuanced. And now they occasionally have sparks of that with like maybe Andor and maybe like certain episodes of The Mandalorian or something like that, where there's this little twist and whatnot, but then make us feel like we're going to have a conclusion that's worthwhile and meaningful, and then to be let down because the story after it doesn't follow through with what the impact that, like, say, The Last Jedi gave us. Whether you like the episode or not doesn't really matter. Like the movie or not doesn't matter. you cannot deny how impactful that movie is. And so positive or negative and nuanced and have all these things you didn't see coming. That's why I pissed so many people off and made people happy. But like ever since then, we've kind of been expecting this level of storytelling that's not been there. And I don't know, man. Like I like where do we go? Like people are like, well, you shouldn't expect much from Star Wars. Like, well, then they shouldn't put such an emphasis on things if they don't want us to think so much of it and think something matters when it doesn't. And I don't know, man. It's just kind of frustrating. The whole time I was thinking, like, man, this is just like ultimately an empty episode with that what feels kind of meaningless. They destroy the Darksaber, which is okay, I guess. But like, it's such a artifact of the Mandalorians. It kind of feels like you slaughtered the last mythosaur or something. You know what I mean? It's how it feels when they crush that. It's like, oh, well, I guess just a symbol doesn't matter. And then, like somebody said, well, now they can go forward as a go forward truly as a people. Mm-hmm. You know, United, a ruler, not a symbol. I'm like, yeah, but it's the Mandalorians. That's who they are. They are a people of symbols and symbology.
And, well, yeah, because they're talking about add him to the song and all this and that.
Yes.
So let's back up just a hair.
Sorry, I went off.
No, you're fine. That. Just one of the things I wanted to mention was Gideon's plan with his clones. Because he talks about how he was trying to isolate the ability to use the Force. Mm-hmm. And like I saw an article from, I think, Inverse, where they were talking about the Mandalorian disproves one of the oldest fan theories. I assumed it was to make clones that could use the Force, not for Palpatine necessarily, but
yeah,
just clones in general. But one of the things that he's making these clones, they've got this Shadow Council and he denies,
no, I didn't do nothing.
And, you know, by the way, having Commandant Hux, General Hux's dad, being played by Donald Gleason's brother.
Well, I thought he looked familiar. Yeah. Because he was. Yeah.
So, anyway, the whole thing with his clones. Donald. What was he planning on doing with them? Was it going to be a coup to take over the remnants of the Empire? Was it going to be like, hey, I know you might be mad at first, but I made these clones and we kick ass.
It sounds like it because he said that, remember he did that whole maybe new leadership is needed deal in that meeting room. And then, you know, he kind of made it sound like in the meeting that like, you know, Project Necromancer is your thing. Like he didn't give a shit about it. And it was not a worthwhile thing, which I want to say, the whole Project Necromancer, and we kind of said this before, when they said that and he said, that's not my deal, that's yours. I was kind of like, that's a letdown. Like, it's like, you really made it feel from the get-go, from season one, that the whole reason why you wanted to get this Force-sensitive DNA was so you could Empire bring back Palpatine and make it be like a reasoning as to why you would do that. Like you kind of like, why else would you want a Force sensitive thing? And maybe they could always say, well, that's not what we said. We never said that. True.
Yeah, I don't feel like they said that.
True, true, true. But then to have it just be in the end that he's a diabolical dude that was trying to merge together different DNAs to have Force wielding super soldiers is so fucking lackluster of a conclusion that
it is.
I just like, after three seasons, that's what the big reveal is that he was making super soldiers.
So let me ask you this while we're talking about his clones. So they go in and they find the tubes with the clones in them.
Yeah.
And naturally you do the one where the one suddenly opens his eyes and scares Grogu.
That was a good scream by Grogu, by the way.
Yeah. So you see that, and they're Gideon, and they look younger.
Yeah.
And Mando does the thing where it blows them open.
Yeah.
All the amniotic fluid, for lack of a better term, comes running out. And
why Gideon, install that switch?
Gideon, first of all, why would you put that in your system?
Yeah, why have a, oh, a blow up canister switch?
Yeah, yeah, oh. I mean, dude, that'd be easy to accidentally do. It's not like he was over there for a long time. I never saw him.
And he was just randomly pushing buttons. He figured it out.
You know yeah, I mean? Like Windows. How are you sure you want to delete this? Look, I right clicked on it and selected send to recycle bin. The amount of yeah. trouble I had to go through to tell you to do it. Yes, I'm positive. But it's. Yeah, he blows it open, then Gideon tells him, and my clones were going to be blah, and you suffocated them before they could even draw their first breath. And I was like, they were in water. You were suffocating them. He gave them the opportunity to breathe, and they couldn't. What do they have, gills when they're first
Also, they made? Were pretty fully developed.
Yeah, they did. So one thing that I can't help but wonder is the idea that maybe the Gideon that we saw was a clone.
Yeah, that explains why he looks so much different in this season compared to the first season.
Yeah. Well, you know what the comparison was? He didn't have a mustache.
Oh.
In this last one, it's like, dang.
Damn, no mustache? How do you get a mustache if you don't have one?
You know, when I was a kid, my dad had a mustache, and now he doesn't.
Clone!
Maybe he's not my dad. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's trash. And if that's what they did, then that's trash too.
I hate when I have to be one of the people who is disappointed in Star Wars. I hate yeah. it. I don't like, because I ultimately love Star Wars and I love The Mandalorian, the story. The first and second season are some of my favorite Star Wars I've ever seen. And then this third season took forever to come out. You know, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was here, and some of the visual effects were some of the best they've produced. It was incredible. Some of the fight scenes were unreal. And then the story, for the most part, was garbage. And it hurt me. Because I was like, man, like, you had, like, it drives home the narrative that the first and second season, that should have been the conclusion of their story. And it kind of feels like that was Favreau and Filoni's plan. Uh-huh. And then, you know, hence introducing Ahsoka and other stuff in that story and Boba Fett. And then they were like, and you know, it's, and we said this before, and they got halfway through making Boba Fett and they were like, oh shit, man, people are really sad that there's no more Grogu and Mandalorian together. We got to do something here. Insert these three episodes and make it all better. And now we're all like, okay, well, you ruined all of the good story you made. And like, now we're left with this third season, which ups and downs. And now we're like, did any of it matter? Like, ultimately, like, what happened with the Mandalorians in the end? You know, like, are they going to talk about that? Is there going to be some kind of somebody coming for Mandalore again? Or are they just like, you know, doing their own thing, and then they show up in the sequel trilogy at the last battle, and there we go. It's just, I'm not saying they have to shore up everything, but they work so tirelessly and heavily on setting up all these different lines, and the way they button them all up was like, it was like you button the shirt inside out and backwards. It was weird. And sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine. I mean, you're allowed to be disappointed. And here's my thing. The episodes were fun.
Yeah.
In general. I mean every episode, but substance-wise, it's low. And I don't know that they have a ton of rewatchability. And here's something I find curious. My kids, neither of them showed any interest in watching this season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And part of it is because they've been more busy, like, being outside and mm-hmm. doing things like that. But at the same time,
touching it's grass? Like, how dare they?
Yeah, right. But at the same time, it's like, it's friggin' Grogu. He's adorbs, man. Why are you missing out on this? Now, let's back up a little bit again. At the end, we've got IG-11 presented as a gift to Navarro to be their marshal. Yeah. Because they got that head from the bar, okay? Yeah. The one Filoni hangs out in.
Yeah.
And, oh, that reminds me of something funny. So they get that and rebuild them.
Yeah.
The parts they had of IG-11 were used to make the mech suit for Grogu, IG-12. Uh-huh. Did that thing survive and they took it with them?
Had to have, right?
I guess. And who did it? Because the Ancelans seemed surprised to see him. So did the Ugnaughts do it that he met on Jack Black's planet?
I mean, they very well could have, I guess, right? I mean, maybe Mando did it himself in that extra compartment in his battleship we didn't realize he had. You know what I mean?
Like, the, like, well, that's a whole other thing.
He had a Wonder Woman compartment that was invisible. We couldn't see it, you know? Yeah.
So
I don't know, dude. It
then the way they wrap it up, okay, everybody's getting a happy ending. They head back to... He heads back to Nevarro and Greef Karga presents him with a deed to this land. And it's super Western-y. It's like a Western, including the fade to circle it does.
I thought of Looney Tunes is what I thought of.
Well, I can understand that.
I even did the Porky Pig. I'm like, even a dee ba dee ba dee, that's all folks at the end? What the hell was that?
What's funny is you were just trying to say...
That's I know, awesome. Right? Exactly.
No,
you're not wrong. When I was listening to that back on my reaction, I was like, that's amazing how good I did that.
Oh my God. I told a joke to somebody and it was a younger person, like in their early 20s. And we were talking about somebody who had to have cataract surgery.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, did you know that 40% of people in China have cataracts? He's like, wow, that seems pretty high. I said, yeah. And 10% of them have Rinkins. And he just looks at me. And I said, get it? He didn't get it. And so then I explain it to him. And here's what he says. Are you ready? Oh, we're making fun of how they talk. I get it now. I'm like, I'm not making fun of how they talk. I'm taking... Never mind. All right. Never mind. So
canceled.
Yeah. He's like, torched me. So then I got on the subject somehow of like old TVs with him and another person. And I showed him a picture of a console television. And I'm sure he thought that I photoshopped that. I'm like, this was a thing. Yeah. All right.
Sometimes they thought it was a good idea to install the tape deck inside the TV together.
So, real quick, speaking of TVs, this reminds me. In the town that's right by the town I live in, there's this bank, and they're the person who's owned it. It's an old building that's been empty forever, and it's sort of like it's on the corner, and it's called the Wedge Bank. That's what it was. It's on this one of these corners like this, right?
Clever.
And there's this clock hanging on it, and they've taken it down, and apparently they found another to repair it, and they found another clock inside. But the clock has been stuck on 420 forever, right? That's the joke. Yeah. And they were talking about it, and in the newspaper online, the comment section was on their Facebook feed was glorious. And it was everything from save the clock tower to, I remember when that thing broke. It was 1955, and I just got done playing Johnny B. Goode at a dance, and they hated it. And so I replied, but their kids loved it.
And their kids never shut the fuck up about it again later.
Your kids are going to love it. And I'm like, that guy's a hero for saying that. And I'm a hero for replying and keeping the gag going.
Two heroes just wearing capes that nobody wants you to put on.
And I told these people, listen, if you have a son and he accidentally sets fire to the living room rug, go easy on him. So,
and buy one of the things funny. And buy him a lifted Toyota while you're at it.
I was talking to my friend Needles. I was talking to Raj, and he said...
Same thing.
Yeah, he said that, you know, he's telling me kind of his feelings on the Mandalorian's finale and all this stuff. And one of the things he mentioned is, you know, and there was no post-credit scene or anything. And this is all by text. And it's in the morning. I just finished watching it. He stayed up to do the reaction the night before. And I said, you didn't see the post-credit scene? I said, he goes, what? I said, dude, it sure was something. And he's like, we all checked last night. I said, I watched it this morning. Maybe they added it late. I don't know. And so he's frantically searching. I just know it. And I text him back. I said, listen, it was just Favreau and Filoni. And they shot it like they did the basement scenes in that 70s show where you're aware that they're passing a joint, but they don't have to show you. Yeah, and they mostly just talked about pizza and cats. And he came back with, how dare you? I was so proud of myself.
I was calling Les and Randy. He's like, wake the fuck up. It's reaction video time.
We got to go in. Yeah, I was very pleased with that. Let me ask you something. While we're talking about the season finale here.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, I felt like some of the story threads that kind of poked their head in, they just ignored, like the whole thing with Thrawn, they just ignored this. And I mean, in the Shadow Council to make the appearance that they did. And I don't know, man, it felt very weird.
It was like, hey, Ahsoka's coming. If you don't remember the trailer you watched the other day, Ahsoka's coming. Thrawn.
Ahsoka.
Remember Thrawn? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. excuse me. There was that, but also the crab thing at the bottom that they never explained what it was. It was taking the juice out of Mando. Was that giving stuff to Gideon? Was that what that thing was for? What the fuck was that thing?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
They never explained anything of that. There was something else. There was and by the way, I watched that episode that made no sense when we were watching it the first time, which that didn't feature the Mandalorians at all, except at the beginning and the end. The one on Coruscant with Dr. Pershing.
Yeah.
I watched it again because Rachel was in the process of, she hadn't seen most of the season. She was kind of just watching them. And I watched that episode and I'm like, okay, well, I guess that has some threads to what happens at the end of the season or whatever. But I'm like, I'm thinking, not sure this warranted an entire weird episode. And I was sitting all the time like, and I'm like, well, I guess she really wasn't trying to make him lose his humanity or forget just enough to go back to doing his work. That wasn't the plan at all. She really was just frying his fucking brain because she's like, no, you can't be telling people about what you were doing with Gideon. Can't be actually going through with it and saying what you were doing. And
right.
And we don't actually care about your work. You need to continue. I just need to get you in trouble so I can. And I'm trying to think, I'm like, how did she convince them? Like, hey, look, I know this guy's still dirty and I have him I have a plan for us to catch him that he's still dirty, but I got to go there with him, but come here at this time. And then we'll fucking say, gotcha. And I was like, oh,
Joan, gotcha. Don't it hurt you?
And then they make her to set her up as this like really sinister, like important figure. And then at the end, just make her just a, hey, just so you know, boss, Bo-Katan helped out, the cultists. No, it's impossible. And then that's all she was in the end, was just a little canary twisting dials. I was like, man, she really, like, they really hyped her up. And they were like,
so you're right. So here's another thing to think about then. Why did she need to go through the trouble that she went through instead of just killing him? Just stick a knife in his lung.
Yeah.
And be done with it. Is it because then they'll know that he was up to something that somebody once covered up so bad that they killed him?
Also, wouldn't they immediately know that she asked to be alone in that room and that he went from being into peaceful forget these thoughts to your brain's fried. Like,
yeah.
No, she had nothing to do with that. No, not at all.
I don't understand. Because they didn't deal with the repercussions of what that did either.
No.
It's just like, you know, were they surprised? Oh, dang. Sorry.
I guess it still is experimental, I guess.
Wow, we really missed the mark on this one, guy.
What does she like? She like fry it really bad and then turn back to, hey, guys, help, hurry, something's happening. So he's flaying around.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like his mind's being flayed.
So, yeah, God. What would you give?
I'm sorry. I hate to be such a, lack of a better word, bitch about it. I really do. Because, like, I realize Star Wars is goofy and in space. We should just enjoy it. And I've said that myself several times. But, like, this just feels like it's insulting our intelligence on several factors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the point of the thing with the armor, like I told you last week, my 8-year-old son came to the conclusion, like, oh, the armor is going to be a bad person. Like, so what, your whole goal was to trick children to thinking that that was going to happen too? Like, why'd you set all this shit up? Why'd you make, it felt so flat. But she's like, I'm a good guy. Here I am. You guys were, why would you think I was bad? What'd I ever do that was weird? Why would you ever think that I was a bad guy? It just, you're going to ask though, what do I rate the season or the episode?
The season overall.
My least favorite season of Mandalorian so far. Yeah. I would say it has to be great on a sliding scale, because as far as like effects and action goes, it's probably a 7.5-8, right? Story 4.1, and I'd say together, I don't know, 6. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somewhere around there.
I think that's fair.
5.7.
Yeah. So one thing, and Steel brought this up, Steel Saunders of the Steel Wars podcast.
You know, don't talk about Steel Wars. He's been hating on our boy R5-D4. I'm goddamn sick of it. You know what I mean?
Whatever, man. I don't know. Hang on. Before I get to that, real quick. What's weird is the only problems with the effects in this episode were the motion of the droids. The mouse droids, like, it got weird for a second.
Oh, like, he like turned real quick at him. It looked kind of weird.
Like it hitched or something. Yeah. I don't know. They sped sped it up for a second. But the whole siren thing on those mouse droids was ridiculous too. But it was funny.
But that was Star Wars though. That was cheeseball Star Wars, and it's fine. You know what I mean? At least it didn't insult our intelligence. You know what I mean?
So one of the things, so Ragnar at the end, they're in the mines of Mandalore and he's taken the creed and he's just lost his dad. And that was one of the things. It was real nice for the Mandalorian to come in and adopt this kid right in front of the kid who just lost his dad. And it's like, yeah. I know you don't have a dad anymore, but this guy does. And to officially adopt him when they've referred to him as his son the whole time. And that was a feel good thing. It was meant to feel good. And like, maybe it's some Mandalorian deal, you know, it's like, well, we got to have the paperwork.
He was also like vocally like searching for a loophole to make him an apprentice and not a foundling anymore. And he's like, well, what if his parents were to say, and they were like, well, that would be fine. Okay. Well, I'm going to officially adopt him now. They're like, oh, you weren't his dad before? Okay. Well, we can do that. Put it in this. She even goes, this is the way.
Yeah.
Exactly. She even, do you remember the pause? She's like, this is the way. We're going to make this work.
She's like, this is what we're doing now? All right. Okay. You're a Mandalorian. I'm a Mandalorian. They're a Mandalorian. Hey, you want to be a Mandalorian?
We're in the waters. You know what I mean? With this giant monster just hanging out down there. No problems.
So now here's another question. His name is Din Grogu now.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that Jaren is his surname because, you know, Bo-Katan, that's her first name, if you will.
Yeah.
And of because of Clan Kryze.
Yeah. That's kind of weird because I believe it's the Chinese who will do like family names like first,
right?
And then their individual names after,
right?
So maybe that's kind of like that. But then you're right. So if Bo-Katan had kids, would it be Bo Barbie? You know what I mean?
Bo-Katan. That's all one word, even though Axe Wolves calls her Bo at one point. But they refer to it as Clan Kryze.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
But
is he Clan Din?
But why wasn't it Paz Ragnar?
Yeah.
Why didn't he have his dad's first name? I don't know. Whatever.
Or maybe he did, and they just call him Ragnar. They're going to call Grogu. They're going to call him Din Grogu.
I guess. But whatevs, man. It is what it is. It ended how it ended.
What did you rate? You didn't give me your rating. Yes, my rating didn't give me yours.
12 out of 10.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
No, I would say overall, I'd give the entire thing about a 7. And part of it, so one of the things I'm basing it on was how I felt while I was watching it.
Yeah.
Because it did have that going for it. But like when I sit here and analyze it big picture style, it most certainly was not without its flaws.
I mean,
but
extensively.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I'll give it a 7. I did have fun watching it. I don't think I'll rewatch any of it. I don't know. I don't see myself rewatching it. You know what it is? Does have a lot of rewatchability? Kenobi.
Yeah. But though, I've been hearing people shit on that recently too. Not quite understand why. Like, I love that show. Like, to me, had so many impactful moments and so much necessary wrapping up of certain things that, like, you know, close some dots between Anakin and Obi-Wan and like. And brought Leia into understanding and knowing Obi-Wan. And then like all these things, like it was like, to me, it for one, I mean, to bring Ewan's Owen back, I mean, Obi-Wan back is always magical if you can make it happen. Right. But people were like some people, like even like our friend, like, I guess sometimes my friend, sometimes both our friend Rashad, was like talking about how bad a lot of the effects were on that show and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't really ever really notice. I didn't really notice any terrible effects because I didn't really think it was about the effects. But like, if you go back and watch how they made the fight between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, like that's almost all practical effects. And it's like a really like extensive thing they did. And it was just so like the whole power of that moment was so good. And like, there were just so many things about it. It's so great. And you know, one thing I haven't, you know, people just, they loft it super high and rightfully so, is Andor. But I, much like Rogue One, I don't have a desire to go back and watch it again. It's one of those things. Like, I just like, I know the feeling I got from it. I know that it was good, but like, I don't have a desire to watch it again.
Right. Right. That's weird because, you know, admittedly, like there was a scene where Kenobi hits a stormtrooper and the lightsaber bounces off of it.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, that's just how it goes. Rashad is my friend. I'd like to joke about it, but he does enjoy the hot take.
He does.
That is, hey, this will make me stand out from the crowd.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think people really need air that much. I mean, we've just been saying they do, but have you ever proved it?
Yeah. Water? Yeah. Overrated.
Moon landing? Not real.
Planet? Definitely flat.
Oh, there's no such thing as space. The moon is plainly in our atmosphere. You know why they do this? Because of all that money.
Yes.
Thank God that we had Galileo in on this all those years ago.
All that, then Dash, Rashad Kasem, 2023.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, there it is, The Mandalorian. So let me ask you this, another thing we enjoyed now that we've passed that. We've got Jedi Survivor coming out for all major gaming platforms.
Yeah.
Current gen only.
Yeah. Glad to hear.
So, too bad, PS4. Too bad, Xbox One.
Suck on that one. Get younger.
Yep. So that's
going to be... We have to deal with that. You do too.
Yeah. That's going to be cool. And whilst we wait for it, Stella and I, we have played no Fortnite.
Yeah.
But what we have done is Friday night, she and I just had dad-daughter day.
Nice.
It was excellent. But we played It Takes Two.
Oh, that's a good game.
And we had loads of fun. She had a blast with it. And it's funny because the only other time I've played it is with Amanda, my wife, who does not play video games and was so frustrated because she couldn't remember like what the buttons did. And it tells you to press B and she has to look down at the controller to figure out what that is because she doesn't have the muscle memory associated with it. And then the whole two sticks thing, it was just...
In my day, we had four directional buttons.
Yeah. And by God, we loved it. And so with Stella, the amount of time it took for us to get to the same spot Amanda and I did after hours of playing, we got to it pretty quick. It was a blast, man. That is a fine game, a couch co-op game. And if I can give you any advice, if you're going to play it, skip every single cutscene. The story, it doesn't really matter. The whole point is to do the thing with the thing.
Together. Yeah.
And just skip them all. You both have to hold down B, which is interesting. I like the way they do that. But
true co-op.
Yeah, good times. It's good stuff. And you can do co-op in a couch co-op fashion, or you can do it online.
Yeah. That's cool. All games that offer that should offer both things. Like all the Lego games, I get it, but they should find a way to make you play the Lego games online together because it seems weird that you can't.
And so one other thing I like about it is when you do couch co-op, the other person can log in and they get the achievements on their Xbox account as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's cool, man. Anyway, that was neat. What have you been playing?
Well, my son and I did play. We played four rounds of Fortnite in the last 3 days, like total. Yeah, each time I get through two games, and then like I'm like, buddy, I just don't think I have like that muscle memory anymore, and it's frustrating me so much to play it at a certain time that like it's just I'm sorry, like I can't like make myself do it. And for some reason, they feel like the games are taking longer than they used to. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like normally, like, I'd be playing a game for like 20 minutes and I'd get basically to the end. And now it feels like I'm playing for like a half an hour and it's still like two circles left. I don't know what's going on. They made the map bigger or something. I don't know what's going on, but like, I feel like this takes forever and I don't see people for a long time.
Yeah, and I definitely had that.
Yeah, and it's just like, and then when I do find people, they have like six extremely overpowered weapons, and I do not have these weapons, and I'm just like, okay, well, I am out of the Fortnite loop, so I don't quite have all of the different movement mechanics and the super weapons figured out and where they all are and down, and I hate that there's an island up there and where people can go up there and get all these mega weapons and like either shoot you from up there or get them and then just go obliterate everybody. Like it just like I get it. Like it adds a different element to the game, but like at the same time, it makes these people who are completely cracked out of their minds already just like unstoppable. And it's just I get it. Fortnite and Fortnite players, I get it. It's meant for young people who have these reflexes that are like I get it. But like it frustrates me. But the problem is I've been playing more douchey games like Call of Duty, like way too much. And so it's first person apart from third person. And so when you get it, there's a whole different dynamic to it. And when you get so into one, you know, first person view, and then you try to switch to third person view in a game after you've been playing that one for months and go back to that one, it's like it feels like a foreign thing. And it takes at least, I mean, I know third person games really well, so it takes me about 10, 15 minutes while playing the game to kind of get some of my, knock some of the rust off. Mm-hmm. And then I start to feel it, but like it's not quite there. And I feel like my overall game sense isn't there. And it's just kind of, because I've not been super involved with the season and I'm kind of just all over the place. But the same thing happened when I was playing a ton of Fortnite and I went back and played Call of Duty. Like I couldn't kill anybody. When I was mm-hmm. playing Call of Duty. I'm like, I can't fucking kill anybody. None of this shit's working. You know, I've played Call of Duty for years. It was just incredibly frustrating. But we're talking about gaming and stuff, and I'm gonna mention really fast because I know people have already switched off or whatever. But you were talking about your kids touching grass earlier, and I was talking about earlier on this, but and I've talked about this before. But my son played his first baseball game tonight of the season, and it was it's one of those things that you can't quite understand till you're a parent, like how rewarding and prideful you feel when your kid not only does really well at something, which is great, right? You know, it's great to see your kid do very well at something, but thoroughly enjoy themselves playing something that they love to play and love being a part of a team, like achieving a goal and playing together and cheering for each other and like rallying behind each other to win a game or like to come, you know, it's such a fun experience to see my little boy grow up to be this young man almost, you know, mm-hmm. feels. And he's so about the team. He's about rooting on his teammates and tell them they did a good job when they made a good play. He's 8 years old and he's like acting like a little coach out there. It's so awesome. And like not in a bossy way, but in a supportive way. And it's one of these things that I can tell already that I'm going to cherish when I'm an old man. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to think about, you know, watch my little boy play baseball and watch him progressively get somehow exceptionally better than I ever was. Like I loved baseball, but I never had the drive or attention to apply myself like he has already at age 8. And I was so proud of him today. And he was like the superstar tonight. And it was such a cool experience. And so while video games are awesome and I love those experiences I have with them, this is something that just feels so much more visceral and real. It was right. Just because we practice together playing baseball, like actually practice to physically do it. And I know that he's getting better. And I know that he's doing very well at something. And to see it put into action and him like loving it and not be like, oh, thank God I did good so dad doesn't get mad at me. You know, right. that's not what it is. He's like, I worked at something and I'm better at it. It's great to see him feel good about himself or something, you know? So yeah.
That's good, man. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. A kid finding something they're passionate about is really special. And both of my kids tend to be passionate about art.
Yeah.
Like building things, creating things, that sort of thing. And I'm glad. I like that. Hopefully
which is in line with you.
Right. Hopefully one of them will embrace music. That'd be great. But if they don't, that's cool too. I'm good. But
have you offered to teach either one guitar? I'm sure you have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it will seem interested, but then it never goes anywhere. And a lot of that's my fault.
Yeah.
Because it's they put it out there and then I don't chase it down. Anyway,
life gets in the way, buddy.
It does. It does. Well, listen, we don't have any more Mandalorian to talk about. We will have we're not a Star Wars podcast, but we love Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so we naturally talk about it a lot, but we'll have Star Wars Visions season 2 will come out on May 4th.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
Secret Wars is coming out pretty soon. The Samuel L. Jackson show.
Uh-huh.
And then shortly after that will be Ahsoka.
Secret Invasion, right?
Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Yeah, it looks really good too. They, you know, Bob Iger in that investor meeting was talking about how they were going to focus on quality over quantity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of tell that the quality is coming because, like I said, we saw what happened with The Mandalorian, right? The effects on it were like mostly movie level in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. And Secret Invasion feels a lot like that. And Ahsoka looks unreal with what they're doing on that show.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see where that's going, all that future. Have you thought about how much of that they're doing in the volume? Have you thought about that?
I try to not let the process get in my head too much.
Or are they getting away from it? That's what I want. Are they getting away from it?
I don't know. I don't know.
One more thing. Did you see that little line of my interview about Tamora Morrison talking about this season of The Mandalorian?
No.
He was supposed to be in the season. They told me he was going to be in it. He goes, and then they never called me. And then he admitted to being a little upset that Din Djarin kind of stole the season from him. And he goes, you know, basically he was told he had ideas for like what Boba Fett should do here, the scene and do whatever like that. And they basically kind of told him, just read your lines, kind of like a whole, like, kind of like seemed kind of like a disrespectful, moment for him. And which is kind of surprising because, you know, he really like, you know, maybe he was just being a good man and like embracing the moment that he had as Boba Fett, right? And all the press and all the extra stuff they were doing for him after that when it was happening. But like, we keep seeing these little tiny granule things of like a ginormous company not really giving a shit about the people that make it for him. And like, it's starting to like wear thin in areas, and like the cracks are showing through sometimes. And I hope that's not a sign of more things to come. But like, you know, we heard that there was some tension with Favreau and the higher ups about Mando season 3. And if that's true, I've not read into it too far, but if that's true, it seems kind of evident in how season 3 went, where the special effects are incredible and the story is meh.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope. But it really seems like they're really like Dave and Favreau are passionate about Ahsoka and where that's going. So maybe we'll turn it around there. But when is the skeleton crew coming out?
I have no idea.
But that's this year too. So
yeah.
So there's plenty coming up. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Well, we'll see. Well, listen, guys, like we said up front, check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. We really appreciate the support. So yes. Get on board. Do it. Just do it.
Please.
Yep, please and thank you. Check out TeePublic, but screw Redbubble.
Yeah.
For merch and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Redbubble. It's some butthole that keeps stealing our artwork. And I know it happens to everybody, but
it's just so disheartening. It's what it is.
That they can't do anything about it. I mean, just do a history of how long have we had this design on your site, and now look at this one and it's identical.
Yeah, they're like, no, go through this convoluted process instead of the very easy one you set up on the person's art. Like, there's a complaint part where you can put in there and put the things in there and say what they did wrong. This is our artwork. You stole it and quit it. Please take it down. And then they're like, if you want to, you go through this complaint form, which you click on that link, doesn't take you to a complaint form. Apparently you got to go figure it out and find it out. So like, here's the thing. It should be very easy to go, this is not their art. You need to check into it. This is your fucking job. And they don't do it.
I agree. Well, especially when a company can call up and be like, hey, they're using our IP. Take it down. Problem. And they'll take it down.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. So yeah, follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel and check out links in the show description for other stuff such as Cruiser's Twitch channel and my Twitch channel, where I will be building some lightsabers. And also I ordered a digital microscope so I can show up close what's going on the electronics part and the soldering instead of trying to watch it from far away. That'll be cool.
I had a bad joke I was going to say, and I stopped myself, but you can figure out what I was going to say. Sorry.
No.
I didn't say it. I thought it. I didn't say it, but I kind of said it by saying I was going to say it. Oh, also, check if you're listening to this and you never watched this, check out our YouTube for other videos we have put up. They're on the public, not on the Patreon. I got my reaction videos. I put Eric's crazy Gideon theory up on there, and I uploaded our first short on there, which did really well. So yeah.
Yeah, it's almost Eric, like I just mentioned our YouTube channel.
Did you?
Yep, I'm sure did. Thanks for listening.
I'm so used to you not saying it that I just assumed you did.
Well, listen, man. There's nothing left to say except this is our last show. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next time, I am out of here.
Goodbye? The bad motivators are dead.
The bad motivators!